Open up our hearts to your word. Meet us right where we are. Amen. Great. Nice to see you all. I'm Albin, Albin Renman. I work here at this church with the youth ministry. I do the Friday night activities, camps, and such stuff. And lived here for 1 year now. I come from another city 3 hours south from here called Örnsköldsvik. And I'm going to preach today. I'm going to read a passage from the Bible. And I'm going to talk about what it says about God, and what it says about us. Reading the Bible can sometimes be hard. I many times struggle with the longer and longer parts. But this we're gonna read from about Gideon today. This is a really exciting part of the Bible. I think it's you're sitting on the toes, on the edge, like what's gonna happen next. So I think we're just gonna go into the text. It's a bit to read, but it's exciting, and it's gonna come up on the screen in English. If you want to read it in Swedish, you can open up your Bibles to Domarboken 7. We're gonna talk a bit about Gideon first. We come to know him in the chapter before. We're in Judges, it's called. It's in one of the older books in the Bible. From a time when Israel didn't have a king yet. They had judges that settled their disputes and everything. And we come to know Gideon in chapter 6 as the smallest of the small. Israel is made up of 12 tribes. And he's from the smallest tribe, and he's from one of the lowest families in that smallest tribe, and he's the youngest person in that family. So he's the lowest maybe in all of Israel, and it's under a time when Israel is under attack from another people. First, Israel has turned from God, and they started to worship another man-made god named Baal. And then they come under attack from another people also, called the Midianites, who come every year, and they steal their crops, they steal their food from the winter, so the Israel is under a starvation. And they've been in this for many years now. And the Lord's angel come to Gideon and says, "Don't be afraid, God is with you." And Gideon looks him and just says, "No, it's not. If God were with us, then why is the world like this? Why are we like this?" And Gideon and God go back and forth, God trying to earn Gideon's trust. Gideon sets forth many trials for him. Okay, if you do this, then I will trust you. And then he trusts him for a bit, and then he has to give him another trial to always test God. He puts out wool on the ground, and he says, if by tomorrow the wool is wet by the dew of the morning, and the grass around it is dry, then I will trust you. Next morning that happens, and Gideon still says, no, I want to do one more thing. I want to put it out again, and if this time the grass is wet and the wool is dry, then I will trust you. And so that happens again. So Gideon finally trusts God, and they topple the Baal statue and raise up an altar for God. And then we come into this part we're going to read about now, where God says to Gideon, okay, you're going to lead the people of Israel against the Midianites. And I'm going to use you to set your people free from this war. And so we read, can get the text up on the screen. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, they have many weird names in the Bible sometimes. Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me, they would say. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. So he had 32,000 men, and then the Lord said, it's too many. Send them home. So 22,000 people left. But then Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the man down to the water. The Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues, as the dog does, from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down to their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept only the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets and of the others. Now, the camp of Midian lay below them in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. But if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites and the Amalekites and the other eastern people had settled in a valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could be no more counted than the sands of the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When God heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He turned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all of the others who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets, broke the jars that were in their hands, and three companies blew their trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in the right hand the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah towards Serarah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah near Tabath. The Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they seized the waters of Jordan as far as Beth Barah. They captured the two Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeeb at the winepress of Zeeb. And they pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. I get excited when I read things like this. They surrounded the camp, 300 men, and they had jars of clay with torches inside. They crushed them, lit the torches, and blew their horns and shouted. And what happens? People are running, people are fleeing, and those who aren't running are fighting each other. Remember, this is a big camp. This is not only one people, this is two people. This is Amalekites and all many different names here. Lots of people. Their camels could not be counted more than the grains of sand on the seashore. 300 people cannot defeat this. You need 32,000 people. But God says, send the 99% home, I will give you 1%. But with those 1%, I, says God, will give you the camp in your hands. It's so interesting because in a way, this is history. This is like people's history. But it's also God's word. We read it from the Bible and we believe that that is God's word, which means that it is something to say to us today as well. And there are plenty of themes to draw from this, but I want to talk about two main things. The first is about every one of you who feel like you're a Gideon. Every one of you who feel like you're the smallest of the small. Remember Gideon, who was the least of his family, least in the tribe, in the smallest tribe of all of Israel. Maybe sitting here and feeling like him sometimes, overlooked, lonely, maybe even a mistake sometimes. If God saw Gideon, then he sees you too. If God wanted to talk to Gideon, I believe he wants to talk to you too. And if he can choose Gideon to do such amazing things, he can use you too. In fact, that's how God works. He takes broken people and restores them. And makes extraordinary things through them so that people will know that this would not have been possible without God. If Gideon had kept his 32,000 men and defeated the camp, what would have happened? First and foremost, lots of more people would have died. But second of all, when they got home, they would have said, "We defeated them." But 300 people against the entire camp, No way they went home and say, "We defeated them all and none of us died. We are so strong." Maybe some of them did. But everybody knew this would not have been possible without God. It's impossible. 300 versus all those people in the camp in the valley. I mean, look at Moses. Moses was a murderer. And still, he's one of the persons in the Bible he's used the most to free Israel from slavery in Egypt. And you can look at how Jesus shows his disciples. His 12 closest disciples were doubters, criminals, and outcasts. Some of them were fishers, workers who felt like they had no other place in society except their boats. Some of them were tax collectors who were hated because they worked for an oppressive government. God took the high and the low, all broken, and he restored them. I also like to think about Paul. Paul is a man in the Bible who has written a lot of the later books. He hated Christians so much and Jesus so much that he went out, he hunted them down, imprisoned them, and killed them. But when he met Jesus, that transformed him. And I know so many people in here who has the same experience, including me, the meeting with Jesus that has transformed us. Who was I before? Broken teenager who was unsure of who he was and who his friends was, borderline depressed and broken. But God met me in that brokenness. I felt like the smallest of the smallest, was bullied a lot in school. But God saw me. And I know so many people here who can testify that God has freed them from addiction, from darkness, from depression. So God sees Gideon and he sees you. The second theme I want to bring out is that the win was not theirs. Again, it's God. And they didn't win it by fighting. All they did was they turned from Baal, this other god. They toppled the statue of Baal. And then they obeyed God, bringing jars and torches and horns instead of all the weaponry. We live in a world ruled by something called sin. Sin is what's causing war, what's causing sickness, greed, jealousy, hate, addiction, all these things that we associate with the darkness that's basically ruling our lives, this world, and on the personal level as well. And this sin ultimately leads to death. So what we do, naturally, sometimes is that we try to do as much good things to overcompensate for this sin. This sin is everywhere. So we try to, we help the poor and we meet these people, and we do good things. We stay in church. We do our duties. We are a good family man, and everything. This trying to do so much good, knowing that maybe God wants to be nice to me if I am a little bit better. But the thing is, this sin is everywhere. We cannot do good enough to wipe that away. There is only one thing that can wipe away sin. For the cost of sin is death. So Jesus, God Himself, came to earth to meet us in this brokenness of sin. And He paid the cost that we could not pay. He died on a cross just like this one, with nails through His hands. But because He was free of sin, He could rise again, defeating death in turn, so that we can be transformed through His love and through His forgiveness. Into new beings, free of the doom that sin prophesies and from sin today, so that we can live free. Paul writes that one is never his own master. You're always a slave to something. What are you a slave to today? Paul writes this: one is either a slave to sin, slave to himself, to do not as he wants to, or you can be transformed through Jesus to truly experience freedom from all these things that binds us, whether it's addiction, whether it's depression, or whether it's just bad habits or sin. God came to restore His creation, to meet us in our brokenness, so that we again may live in a relationship with Him. Because that's how it's all started. He created us in relationship with Him. He wanted to live with us. He wanted to love us. But then we turned away. And now, through the new I lost the word. Through His new commitment with us, through His new this new relationship, covenant, that's the word. Thank you. Through His new covenant with us, we can again experience relationship with Him. We so often fall into this trap of fighting for our own righteousness, gathering up 32,000 men to defeat this thing in our life. But God says, all you need is 300 and trusting me. You have this wall that you're desperately trying to climb over. But you know in your heart that we can't sometimes. But God, He wants to crush that wall so that everyone can see that it was Albin couldn't have climbed over that wall himself. It's impossible. It's impossible that he could have beaten this camp with 300 men. No, they must have been helped by something higher. And He wants to crush that wall because He loves you. He wants to meet you right where you are. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. What wall are you facing today? What camp of Midianites are coming to steal your crops, your energy, your happiness, your strength? Through God, everything is possible. That I believe. We're going to go into another session of worship. During this time, do as you please. As she said, sit, stand, dance. Do as you want. But there will be people to the left here who wants to pray with you. Wants to pray together. And if you want someone to pray for you, just go there. Let us help each other pray. Maybe God wants to do something great here today.